Narol's The Morning After is a production of Narol Pro-Choice Ohio. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Gabe.
I'm Randy.
I'm Jamie. So it's been a busy week here in the state of Ohio. We thought that it wouldn't be so crazy, but you know.
And across the country.
And across the country, actually. Lots to talk about. We didn't have any problem putting together an agenda for the podcast this week.
Right.
So it started in Houston, Texas. You know, there's not a lot of good news that comes out of Ohio or Texas. So when good news does come out, you got to celebrate it a little bit.
Right.
So, you know, when all the false, deceptive, whatever you want to call them, videos came out, the attorney general of Texas did something similar to what our attorney general did. And he called for investigations and what they've done wrong. And,
yeah.
They must have done something very wrong. Investigate them. So the Texas AG asked the Houston AG, actually, I think it was the lieutenant governor, now that I think about it, asked the Houston Republican Houston Attorney General to investigate, put together a grand jury to investigate the dealings of Planned Parenthood and fetal tissue. Mm-hmm. And so they released their findings this week. And so what did the grand jury indict Planned Parenthood for? Nothing.
Yay.
Absolutely nothing. They found that they had done absolutely nothing wrong. They cleared them of everything. But they did actually file indictments. So in kind of a surprise turn of events, instead of indicting the people they were investigating, they indicted the creators of the video. So Dalyden and his coworker, I think Sandra Merritt, were both indicted for falsifying IDs because they created false California driver's licenses to get into these clinics, because most of these places have security protocols in place. So, you know, you got to have like a photo ID to get in.
They got busted for having a fake ID, like an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah, pretty much. They want to go to the bar.
Right.
And then also in the kind of the most ironic thing, they actually indicted Dalyden for attempted purchase of human organs.
Of human organs.
Yes. Yes, because he actually wrote an email to Planned Parenthood of the Gulf Coast down there, and he actually offered to purchase liver and pancreatic tissue for $1,700 in an email, which is like the best part about this whole thing. I think he thought that Planned Parenthood would write back with, oh yeah, sure. And he'd have a written record of this whole thing. And it actually turned out that what we had a written record was him attempting to buy fetal tissue. Mm-hmm. Of course, Planned Parenthood looked at that email and was like, yeah, no, that's not legal. So we're just going to ignore it and never, not even respond, disengage. We're done with you. You know, so the only people actually getting indicted for any sort of trading in human organs is the people who were accusing everybody of doing it. So it's just kind of an interesting
turn of events.
Yes.
So Texas, in addition to all the other states that have looked into this and returned findings, including Ohio, has found nothing wrong done by Planned Parenthood.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. In spite of intense investigations in multiple states.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we had two here, and both the auditor and the attorney general looked into it here and found that Planned Parenthood had done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So, but did that stop them from doing stuff?
Right. So just to back up, the videos that were created by David Dalyden, now indicted David Dalyden, these videos were the reasons that state lawmakers and Governor Kasich here in Ohio got on the warpath to try and defund Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. This attack on Planned Parenthood here in our state is because of these, you know, we knew that they were heavily edited. Now that we know that they were illegally produced videos. So all of this is based on some fraudulent crap from some other state.
Yes.
So then we can fast forward to yesterday.
So yesterday, well, actually it started Tuesday. Well, actually let's back all the way back to Friday. On Friday, we get an email from our contacts in the state legislature telling us that they would have not one hearing on the Planned Parenthood defunding bill, House Bill 294, but two hearings in less than 18 hours separated from each other. And that the bill would immediately go to the floor of the Senate. And news articles earlier this week said that they were expecting Kasich to sign the bill this week. So on Tuesday night, starting at 4 o'clock, we had like 4.5 hours of testimony.
Yeah.
Mostly against. I think there were 5 or 6 witnesses that Ohio Right to Life put together. And then we had 12 total people come and testify, including the Columbus Public Health Department, which raised some serious concerns about their funding so that it wouldn't just take away funding from Planned Parenthood, but them. And then on Wednesday morning at 8:45 a.m., about 12 hours after we finished the night before, they held a second hearing and the committee voted on the bill. But before they voted on it, they actually did something to try to make themselves look good. Because, you know, we're taking away a healthcare provider. You've got to try to make yourself look like not quite as much of a jerk. So they allocated $250,000 to infant mortality reduction programs.
Earmarked,
yeah.
So it's those, already money that's out there.
Mm-hmm. They just want to make sure that it really goes to this one program. So it's not like they created more money or, you know, added more money to the pot. They just said this money in the pot needs to go to that.
Right. So their favorite talking point is that this money doesn't decrease the total number of state dollars out there. It just distributes them differently.
Yeah.
Which, you know, okay, factually is true. It distributes them in a way that's less helpful to actual Iowans. But okay, so it doesn't remove dollars from the total state pot.
No.
The amendment that they put forward doesn't add any dollars to the state pot. It doesn't create 250,000 new dollars. Mm-mm. It just tags them.
Yes.
Okay.
So they what?
I'm just like, can we just talk about that amount for a second? $250,000. What is $250,000 supposed to do? When you have like the worst infant mortality for Black women and then almost at the bottom for white women too, that's just like, don't be poor and definitely don't be poor and Black because we're not going to do shit for you. Mm-hmm. Like $250,000. Like,
yeah. Well, and the woman crowing about it, Senator Shannon Jones, actually, when the latest report came out on Ohio's infant mortality rate, crowed about how it got a little bit better. But it got a little bit better for white folks. It got actually worse for Black women in our state. So, you know, she's in this whole press release out about how, you know, we're headed, you know, we're not there yet because it's still dismal and horrible and awful for everyone involved.
Yes.
Since this whole press release out saying we're getting better, you know, we still got a lot of work, but we're getting better, and like totally ignoring the fact that it got worse for African-American women in Ohio.
Right.
It got better for white women in Ohio, but not Black women. So yeah, I mean, this is a pittance of money. And frankly, when we talk about how the bill defunds health departments and you look at what these health departments are getting, Cuyahoga County is actually getting $286,000 from the state of Ohio for infant mortality reduction right now.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way the promote language is in there, it could actually stop them from getting that $280,000. So this $250,000 that they earmarked doesn't even cover the amount of money that Cuyahoga County, you know, could be losing, could be losing because of the way this bill is written. And interestingly enough, it's going to federally qualified health centers who would also be defunded by this bill because of that language and promote. So if they actually follow the bill that they are passing now, the $250 would never even be able to be allocated because it's banned from going to anybody who contracts with anyone who promotes abortion, mm-hmm. which they've defined as, it's like accessible, it makes more accessible or something, something along those lines. And healthcare, health insurance definitely makes things easier to access because you can afford it better. And every single insurance company in the United States sells at least one plan that has abortion care in it.
Yeah.
So if you contract with,
as it should be,
every plan should have abortion in it, but each company has at least one. So, for example, NARAL has a Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield policy that covers abortion care because that's what we stand for. And therefore, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield would be considered to be promoting abortion because it allows us to afford it better.
They're paying for abortions.
Yes, they're paying for abortions. So they are promoting abortions.
And so are many other major insurance companies across the country.
Well, Columbus Public Health actually testified to the fact that she hasn't been able to find a health care plan that doesn't at least have one.
Right.
And actually in Ohio, because we've deregulated Medicaid in our state, so we don't actually have traditional Medicaid, we have Medicaid managed care plans. So basically even people in Ohio on Medicare are covered by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield and Humana and all those other health insurance companies.
Major health insurance companies.
That also cover abortion and other plans. Right. So, you know, there really are no, like, reimbursing those Medicaid managed care plans would be contracting with somebody who promotes abortion under this law. So, you know, even these FQHCs, federally qualified health centers, that are supposedly getting this $250,000 earmark now, bill health insurance companies. So they under this bill wouldn't be able to get that $250,000 that's now been earmarked to them.
The FQHC's relationship with the insurance company triggers the funding ban.
Yes.
Even though neither organization, the FQHC nor the insurance company, actually do abortions.
No.
But the bill is written so sloppily that that falls into it.
Yeah.
It would seem they didn't really think this through.
Uh-huh. Well, the problem is that they can't legally say Planned Parenthood can't get this money. Because other states have tried that, and that's unconstitutional. Yeah. You can't say...
I think they tried that in Louisiana. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You say the problem with it as if there's just one. I mean...
Yeah, that's the major point.
It's wholly unconstitutional is kind of the major point.
Yeah.
This could affect the federally qualified health centers in every part of Ohio if they try and use these funds for minority HIV screenings and breast and cervical cancer screenings and treatment and infertility treatments, all these programs that are listed. All of these FQHCs are now at risk of losing access to these funds, but none of them testified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because nobody was asked, you know, hey, does your county health department want to weigh in? Hey, does your FQHC want to weigh in? Hey, does your hospital chain want to come and, you know, discuss these in front of the committee? The only witnesses to the committee were Right to Life chapters and crisis pregnancy centers.
Yeah. No, but no hospitals, other medical providers, anybody else testified. Actually, they did have one doctor. I'll take that back. They had a woman doctor come in. And she didn't say this time because they didn't actually ask her the question. But last time they actually asked her the question that in her practice, does she accept these types of patients? And she admitted in that room that she didn't take Medicaid.
Right.
I'm like, well, then you're not going to be helpful. Thanks.
Right. She wasn't there as a doctor that can help.
No, she was just there as a doctor, as a, you know, figurehead doctor.
She was there as a person who doesn't like abortion.
Yeah,
she happens to have an MD.
Uh-huh. It read the wrong hypothetical oath and all those things. But yeah, so, and what's interesting too, I mean, it just kind of shows the kind of political nature of all this stuff too, because I mean, when Kasich got elected the very first time, I mean, his quote was get on the bus or get under the bus.
Right.
So, of course, none of these, you know, health departments and anything are going to, you know, raise their hand and be like, oh, me, I want to speak out against this, because they don't want to go against Kasich because they don't want to get, you know, slammed under the bus like everybody else that's gone against him.
Right.
So, you know, this just, again, shows that, you know, they're sloppy at writing these bills. They don't actually care about the impacts. I mean, Senate President Faber actually was quoted today saying, well, we don't think that'll be the impact. What data do you have to back that up?
Yeah.
Because this is the way your bill's written. And I've talked to lots of lawyers. I mean, even because Columbus Public Health testified, because their city attorney and their health department lawyers said, yeah, that's how it's going to impact us. So, you know, for the Senate president just to go, psh, they're just silly people.
We don't think.
Yeah, we don't think is not how we should pass laws in Ohio.
Right.
But it is. And that's a scary thing. Like, no. No.
Yeah, no.
Why would you not, like, but again, like, they are not interested in being educated. They don't care. And so, just, I don't think is good enough.
Yeah.
So I can go back to my county and say, hey, I defended Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. So that's the bill that they prepared through the committees.
Mm-hmm.
It came to the floor yesterday. And we're going to give our walk of shame to State Senator Peggy Lehner, former head of Ohio Right to Life. because while all the other senators were hiding behind the pretense of, you know, oh, well, these videos, or we think that this will improve care elsewhere, which is such crap, Peggy Lehner stood up there and laid it out for the second time in a defunding battle. This is the same testimony she gave in 2013, the first time Ohio defunded Planned Parenthood. And she said, listen, this is because Planned Parenthood does abortions, and we don't like abortions, and we're not going to pay for anything for an organization that does abortions. And then the direct quote from her is, if Planned Parenthood stopped doing abortions, all of this would go away. She said that in 2013. She said that yesterday. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's just a you know, an ongoing campaign by anti-choice legislators to try and score, you know, score some points with their favorite extremist lobbyists.
Yeah.
To continue an assault on abortion in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I vehemently disagree with everything that she says. But hey, respect for actually saying that that's actually what you want to do. Like, yeah. Honestly, like, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like abortion and this is about abortion. Like, okay, mm-hmm. Well, at least she put it out there.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't like the bill sponsor, Patman, be like, well, this isn't about Planned Parenthood. There's not Planned Parenthood isn't written in the bill anywhere.
Exactly.
You know, she laid it all out there and she said,
yeah, I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody on one side or the other claimed that it either was about Planned Parenthood or was not about Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's, Patman says that it's not about Planned Parenthood, but yet he was part of an anti-Planned Parenthood rally on the mm-hmm. State House steps.
Yeah.
It's like, which is it?
Yes. Yeah. And in committee, when they were asking questions, he's so weird when he just said, gosh, what did he say? Oh, he asked them who was the founder of Planned Parenthood mm-hmm. or something. Yeah. It's just that he was just like, Margaret Sanger. And then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? Okay. And like, what is your, either, like you say, either is about them or it's not about them.
Yeah. I think he thought he had a mic drop moment there, but everybody was just like,
what? Yeah, exactly.
Like you're attacking minority HIV testing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why are you bringing up Margaret Sanger?
Really?
Yeah. So yeah. So Peggy Lehner gets our walk of shame for the week because
she absolutely does.
She was ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
So Peggy Lehner testified, or spoke on the bill. Mm-hmm. The bill passed the Senate vote.
Of course.
We expected that.
Mm-hmm.
What we did not expect was for them to poke around. This vote could have happened, you know, it was a 1:30 session yesterday. It mm-hmm. could have happened probably before 2:00. Mm-hmm. The House was in session at that time. Because of the amendment that Jamie brought up earlier with the earmark,
mm-hmm.
That means that instead of the bill going directly to John Kasich for a signature, it now has to go back to the House and they have to approve the changes that the Senate made.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of them rushing the bill through, getting it over to the House so that it could be on Kasich's desk right now mm-hmm. being signed, if he was in his office.
And not in New Hampshire.
They poked around.
Yeah.
And they took the time and they stalled and the House left.
Yeah.
The House finished up and they're gone. So mm-hmm. now this bill is going to sit around until February 9th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happens in February?
Well, you know, it was really interesting because we've had lots of theories about like why they started to rush it. And when they started saying how, you know, when the Speaker of the House, Rosenberger, was quoted in the Dispatch earlier this week saying that, that the bill would be on Kasich's desk this week. We're like, well, maybe he's making a play for Iowa. You know, he's gotten some traction underneath him in New Hampshire. And so maybe he's trying to, you know, not come in dead last in Iowa because he's basically completely ignored Iowa in his campaign.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that was kind of a theory we threw around. And obviously that's not it because, you know, the House isn't in session at all next week. Mm-hmm. Iowa caucuses the beginning of next week.
Yeah.
And New Hampshire votes on February 9th, which is the next day that they could actually pass the bill in the House to actually send it to him. So really, I think one of the theories we've been tossing around is, well, maybe he didn't want it for New Hampshire. He's getting some traction underneath him in a state where defunding Planned Parenthood may not be the most popular thing in the world.
I don't think it is as popular as he thought it was going to be.
And so, you know, maybe he's trying to hide it from New Hampshire. But who goes after New Hampshire? South Carolina.
Right.
And what would play well in South Carolina? Defunding Planned Parenthood. And then I think mm-hmm. the next week is when the primary they're calling the SEC primary because it's like Georgia and all those SEC conference states.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, probably a state where some states where this will play very well. So now, you know, it's kind of like, well, are you trying to hide the fact that you're defunding Planned Parenthood for political gain from New Hampshire so that it only appears in South Carolina?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you know, playing, you know, minority HIV AIDS as a political football, it's kind of a low move, Governor Kasich. But
yeah. So those are our two conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
One is Jamie's angle about, you know, this could affect FQHCs, this could affect counties, this could affect hospitals in unintended ways.
Yeah.
And two is the way that they're using this as a mm-hmm. political football to try and advance him. Move him up the field during the presidential primary calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what plays out.
I mean, I would hope the first, but I'm guessing it's the latter, unfortunately, because, I mean, just based on track record, it mm-hmm. wouldn't seem that they're like, oh, this actually might do harm. Like, let's think about this. Like, no, I don't think that's the theory at all.
Right.
Nope, nope, nope.
So this week's That's What She Said moment came from none other than Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. who immediately put out a statement calling for Kasich to veto the bill. She said, Ohioans deserve better. It's time for Governor Kasich to put the health and well-being of his constituents ahead of his own political ambitions and veto this bill to defund Planned Parenthood, a trusted health care provider and a lifeline for thousands of women, men, and young people in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yep.
Way to go, Hillary.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it was immediate too. I mean, that thing came out like she was ready to roll. So that was really good to see. And it does elevate it into that presidential campaign. I mean, it's kind of Kasich's MO through all of this stuff has mm-hmm. been that he likes to hide and blame it on everybody else. I mean, all those abortion restrictions, we now know his office coordinated.
Yeah.
But, you know, he, when asked about them, you know, almost fell backwards off of a stage trying to avoid a question and just responded with, well, I'm pro-life. So, you know, this is something that he's quietly had his legislative minions do for him to mm-hmm. kind of help his political career, but, you know, hasn't allowed it to kind of hang around his neck. And so we'll do our best to hang it smack around his. So we're glad Hillary's joining in on that campaign to make sure Kasich pays for the disastrous public health consequences of his actions.
So that was defunding.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The other big news that came out this week was actually about the heartbeat bill.
Oh, yeah.
Not ours, North Dakota's.
Yeah.
North Dakota, as was predicted, you know, years back,
mm-hmm.
they've been pushing through their court battle. They've got all of this oil boom money, and everybody says, hey, North Dakota is going to take this thing and they're going to run with it in the courts mm-hmm. because they can afford to right
yeah.
now.
What else are they going to spend money on?
Right. So it's finally got up to the point where the U.S. Supreme Court could take up this case because the federal courts that cover North Dakota have said, no, this 6-week abortion ban is unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Heartbeat bills, no matter where they're mm-hmm. at, unconstitutional.
Yeah.
So the Supreme Court could have taken up this case. They refused to.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Supreme Court refuses to do something, that pretty much cements the lower court mm-hmm. ruling into law. So heartbeat bills everywhere
mm-hmm. yeah.
are now known to be unconstitutional. So
Yay.
Says the U.S. Supreme Court. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, that is awesome.
I wonder how Janet feels about that. I'm right. sure she's probably still sitting there going, but if they just take it up, they'll vote it down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Janet Folger Porter is Ohio's problem child.
Well, I mean, she's the originator. I mean, that's why now North Dakota passed it, too. I mean, she brought it to North Carolina, too, the heartbeat bill. I mean, she's the one who wrote right. it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Janet, she was kind of the one pushing Ohio legislators to start it up back in, what, 2011?
Yes.
She brought all the teddy bears to the state house. She brought the roses to the state house. She hired a plane to fly around the state house.
The inflatable rhinoceros.
Put an inflatable rhinoceros. Mm-hmm. Created videos claiming that Republicans refusing to move the bill were killing school buses full of children every yeah. single day. And now she's running for office in the state of Ohio, challenging a sitting Republican state senator to try and get in the Senate herself.
Yeah.
To try and push this thing onto the floor from the inside. We now have, you know, a ruling, you know, from a federal court backed up by the Supreme Court. It's unconstitutional, Janet. It's never going to pass.
She could have spent all that money that she spent on doing all of those things. If she would have spent it on passing out birth control.
Right.
She would have accomplished a lot more of what she was trying to do
yeah.
rather than passing out teddy bears.
She could have stayed at home and accomplished more, but you're
exactly.
right, the amount of money. I mean, she's probably spent $1 million.
Seriously.
Of all the states, of all the stunts, mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean, that's full page ads in the Dispatch. I mean, those suckers cost like thousands, like tens of thousands of like
yeah.
we've looked into them before. They're ridiculously expensive. Like a full page ad in the Sunday Dispatch is.
She'd bus people into the state house yeah. and hold literally prayer sermons on Saturday mm-hmm. mornings in the state house when nobody else was there.
Good job, Janet.
They bring in a band to just stand there and sing and pray in the middle of the state house on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
None of that's free.
No.
She's probably spent $1 million to try and pass what everybody said at the beginning and the first day is unconstitutional.
But we just need to keep trying, is Janet's point. So, yeah. I mean, if she wasn't so dangerous, she'd be really, I mean, we have lots of fun with her, too. And actually, I've had lots of fun with this Senate campaign that she's running because it's actually been highly entertaining. Yeah. And it ended up with Abhoff, who she's running against, doing a floor speech yesterday on the heartbeat bill. And usually, I mean, sometimes he says stuff, but usually he's, I mean, on the defunding, not the heartbeat bill, on the defunding bill. And he got really defensive. He like listed this like litany of these are all my accomplishments on I'm, you know, I'm really pro-life too. And I really think that Janet running against him is the reason he got all defensive and had to list everything off yesterday.
Yeah. This time of year, somebody's standing up there giving a long speech. You have to kind of look, wait a minute, are they in a, oh yeah, they're on the ballot.
And they got a primary challenger. So, So Supreme Court, yay. Janet, not so much.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Another update from Cincinnati came out of Christ Hospital.
Yeah, some bad news out of there, actually, for the women of Cincinnati.
Yes.
Christ Hospital was the last hospital in the Cincinnati area that would perform abortions in the cases of fatal fetal anomaly. So a woman's been diagnosed with some kind of fetal anomaly not compatible with life. Mm-hmm. They would allow their doctors to perform abortions in the hospital because of those reasons. And I guess last December, they sent a letter out to all their doctors telling them that they would no longer be able to use the hospital for that process. And what that really means for women is that they can't get those services locally any longer. And what we've heard from a lot of women who have these kinds of situations, turning to a standalone abortion provider isn't something that's possible for them because in a lot of these cases, the fetal anomaly makes it more dangerous to give birth and to have an abortion.
Yeah.
So that these kinds of things need to happen in a hospital where they've got more equipment and those kinds of things.
Yeah. These are not the non-therapeutic abortions where you go in, you take mifepristone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are not the minor surgeries. These are the very serious cases that this hospital is now refusing to do.
Yeah.
Did they say why?
And they really didn't say why. The article that talked about it also talked about how the state of Ohio requires hospitals to, so the state of Ohio, back it up for a second. The state of Ohio requires the physician, which performs every single abortion. So when you, as a doctor, perform an abortion in Ohio, you had to fill out this Ohio abortion report form with all kinds of ridiculous data on like education level and income and everything on the woman. And so, and that gets confidentially submitted to the state, and that's where we get our Ohio abortion report.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, every hospital in the state is not only required to file that form by the doctor, but the hospital is required to file monthly and yearly count reports. So just numbers only on how many post 12 week abortions they do in the hospital.
It's such a weird thing to have to report.
It's been a law. I hadn't really realized it existed because I don't deal with hospitals. I deal with our clinics and they don't have to do that. And, so when I went back and read it, I would really like to know when and how and what the impetus with that. Because what is that 12-week line? Like, you don't care about the first trimester, but you care about the second and third. It just didn't really make a whole lot of sense. So basically, I think what ODH found was that none of the hospitals were doing it because none of the hospitals knew they were supposed to do it. And so Christ Hospital hadn't been reporting that for a couple of years now. And that was really, you know...
You know, as much as ODH harasses freestanding abortion providers, for them to completely miss the fact that hospitals were not filing legally required paperwork, any hospitals for years. That's kind of ridiculous.
It
it's like ODH, you know.
Yeah.
We've been saying that you've been harassing abortion providers, but the fact that you're dropping the ball on so many other,
Focus on them.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, they couldn't even say that, well, we were just assuming that Christ wasn't doing any, because the letter that ODH actually sent to all the hospitals saying, you guys know you're supposed to do this, right, actually stated that they not only have to file a report if they do them, but if the hospital does zero, they need to file a we didn't do any piece of paper.
So they have to send something.
Yeah, they have to send something no matter what. So, you know, they can't even use the excuse of, well, we just assumed they weren't doing any, so they weren't reporting any. Well, no, they're supposed to be sending you this thing that says zero on it. You know, supposed to be sending an email saying, we didn't do any abortions. Thanks. That's really, you know, it's really a disaster for Christ Hospital. And it really, again, just shows how much Kasich doesn't care about the public health crisis that he's creating in our state. I mean, when Haskell's standalone clinic was open in Cincinnati, he was one of the two providers. He has two clinics, but there were three locations around the state that would do the later term for fetal anomaly, women's health kind of procedures. So Cincinnati already lost their standalone clinic that would do those procedures at that time. And now they've lost the last hospital provider as well. And as we know, you know, these situations can start out as, you know, just a fetal anomaly. And, you know, pregnancies are complicated. It's a, you know, a complicated, you know, symbiotic relationship between the woman's body and the developing fetus, such that...
So what is the parameters then if the woman is in danger, mm-hmm. like her life is in danger?
They say that they'll still do them in the case of life endangerment.
And how in danger does it have to be?
That's a very good question, Randy. How in danger does it have to be? You know, and that's what, you know, really is the question is because, you know, we worked with a woman who came to our press conference earlier. It's mm-hmm. last year now, that talked about how she had a fatal fetal anomaly, genetic dwarfism. And, but part of that was that she had an increased level of amniotic fluid mm-hmm. and she had had a previous emergency C-section. So it was a vertical incision through the uterus, which makes uterine rupture more likely in future pregnancies. And so this increase of amniotic fluid with this woman could cause her uterus to rupture, but the hospital she was working with didn't consider that a life-threatening yet emergency that her uterus could rupture and she could die. So because she wasn't like immediately at risk.
Right.
So they wouldn't do the determination in the hospital. And that's mm-hmm. why she actually reached out to us and we worked with her. So, you know, we know of all these cases where the hospital says, well, you know, you could get to that point, but you're not there yet. So you just have to wait.
Yeah.
And that's the situation in Cincinnati. If you can't afford to travel to Northern Kentucky or to, you know, a hospital in Columbus, you're just going to have to sit around and wait until your life is endangered or give birth to a stillborn or a child that's only going to live, you know, an hour or so
right.
when you wanted to terminate.
Right. Legislators wish that all of these things could be decided in some sort of litmus test, some mm-hmm. sort of thing that was black and white. It's either your pregnancy's fine or your pregnancy's failing. Mm-hmm. you know, as if there's only one or two options and it's yeah. not some infinite scale in between.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had that question frequently in various forms mm-hmm. During a lot of these different bills. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the test to know if a pregnancy is, you know, in danger or not?
Yeah.
What is the test to know if a fetus is viable or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, they pass laws that says that, well, this has to, uh-huh. you know, viability will be established. And the doctors have come forward and say, well, you know, it's not like you pee on a stick and it says yeah. your fetus is viable, yeah. you know, yeah. or if it turns the other color, it's not.
Yeah.
So, you know, for these sort of situations, for them to say, well, we're not going to do these, but we'll do these.
Yeah.
You know, there's no test. You can't write a bill around mm-hmm. these. You can't write a policy yeah. around these. So for them to rule out these procedures in the city of Cincinnati is a real yeah. tragedy for the mm-hmm. women that live there.
Yeah. They were the last hospital that was doing it. So, yeah.
I mean, I know it's going to sound a little crazy, but you know, they could let doctors decide on a case by case basis. I know that sounds like a novel idea, but just yeah. putting it out there.
Mm-hmm. and yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, and what we hear from doctors over and over and over again is I went to medical school.
Yes.
I went through my 3-year yeah. residency. I did that additional yeah. 2-year fellowship. I
exactly.
went through bazillion years of school. I'm the one who knows how to make these decisions.
Yeah.
What the hell out, you know, is what they always say. And, yeah. you know, this is just another example. It's not coming from legislators, but it's coming from hospital administrators saying, nope, even if it's the best thing for your patient, you're going to have to send them someplace else.
Exactly.
Right.
That's crazy. That just made me think of something that happened at the hearing yesterday. One of the witnesses who came in, mm-hmm. and she is 9 months pregnant, and she came in to oppose, you know, them defunding Planned Parenthood. And so she made a joke about, so she hopes she doesn't drop the baby, like, right there. And if you could hear, they kind of laughed. And either the chairman, I think it was the chairman, said, well, it's a good thing we have some other doctors here because none of us would be able to help you. I said, exactly. That sums it up right there. None of you are doctors. None of you are healthcare providers. But yet here we are trying to determine, like, if this healthcare provider should still be able to operate, and they've done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So excellent reporting on the Christ Hospital issue by Jesse Ballmer, the Cincinnati Inquirer. She alerted us to this. Mm-hmm. So we were able to weigh in. We'll continue to watch how Cincinnati abortion rights and access continues to develop. So,
yeah. I mean, they're really like on the verge of being like a really large area with no one to go to.
Largest metropolitan area in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, All right. So what's on our final segment? You gonna sing?
Oh, let's get it on. Okay. So right now So first of all, for Let's Get It On, we want all of you to call John Kasich and tell him that you want him to veto House Bill 294 and that you don't want him to defund Planned Parenthood. His phone number is 614-466-3555. Again, that's 614-466-3555. Call John Kasich and tell him to veto this bill. Also, we're having the Youngstown Happy Hour. It's happening February 4th from 7 to 9.
Susie's Dogs
and Crafts.
Drafts.
Yeah. Susie's Dogs and Drafts. Okay, apparently that's the name. I was kind of like, what is that? But apparently that's the name of the venue. Okay. It's an interesting name. Susie's Dogs and Drafts. Oh, I'm assuming they serve hot dogs.
Yes.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Okay.
You figured that out before I did.
Yeah.
Just don't bring your dogs. Eat some hot dogs.
Eat some hot dogs. And they're at 34 North Phelps Street in Toledo.
Youngstown.
Sorry, Youngstown.
You were going on to the next one.
I know. I'm going to the next one.
In Youngstown, 44503.
Yes. This is live, everyone. Okay. In case you didn't know. 34 North Phelps Street in Youngstown. The next event
And that was on February 4th.
Mm-hmm. February 4th from 7 to 9. Okay. Susie's Dogs and Drafts. Then the next event happening up north is the Capital Care Toledo Legal Fees Fundraiser. Because you all know Annie's been doing a lot of work in Toledo. Mm-hmm. You can continue to follow them at Keep Abortion Safe and Legal in Toledo on their Facebook page. And they're having a fundraiser on February 13th at 7 p.m. It's going to be at Dee's Art Gallery, and that's 137 North Michigan Street.
Yeah, so it'll be an open mic poetry slam. Sounds like a good time. So, yeah, everybody should join in because I know they've racked up quite a bit of legal fees trying to stay open.
I'm
so let's support the clinic and see what we can do.
Right.
Great.
Cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a packed week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it to be over.
Yeah.
Is it Friday yet?
Almost.
So we don't see the legislature again until February 9th at the earliest. Woo-hoo! So folks have time to call.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Governor Kasich and demand a veto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just really just program it in your phone right now while you're sitting there and just like set an alarm on your phone for about 9:05 a.m. every day and just call his office every single day.
Yes.
Between now and when he signs the bill. Bug the crap out of him. Go.
Go get him.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.